Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, your community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. It is profoundly disheartening to suddenly realize that you're mired in drug addiction, alcohol abuse, or having to grapple with homelessness. The emotional and spiritual toll can be enormous. The notion of becoming a social outcast is also made real, and the pain of family abandonment has a measured impact on your mental and physical well-being. That is why the Charlotte Rescue Mission is a profoundly and immeasurably critical entity in the city of Charlotte. This morning, a representative of the Charlotte Rescue Mission will share with us the critical services they provide and some exciting news about the Dove Nest's division of their organization. Joining me this morning is Shantae Anderson, Facility Case Manager of Dove's Nest, a division of the Charlotte Rescue Mission. The Charlotte Rescue Mission ministers the good news of Christianity to individuals caught in the cycle of poverty, hopelessness, and chemical addictions by meeting their spiritual, physical, social, psychological, and vocational needs. They strive to conquer feelings of shame, worthlessness, inferiority, defectiveness, and powerlessness by providing their residents a safe place to begin to trust and exhibit openness. Shantae, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Ron, for asking me to come.
Absolutely. I am so excited to have you here. I had an opportunity over the course of a week to read up about the Charlotte Rescue Mission and some of the wonderful work that you're doing in the community. And I am really thrilled. You guys are really doing some wonderful work. Talk about that for us.
Oh, absolutely. Dove's Nest is the women's division of Charlotte Rescue Mission. And currently we have only 12 beds, and we are expanding to a 120-bed facility. Now, 90 of those beds will be for women and 30 for children. But we help women who are at risk, homeless, and addicted in our community.
It's extraordinary to know that there is an agency that is working at the behest of women who are struggling with various addictions, alcohol abuse, and a host of other things. It's extraordinary to really be in the position to help. What encouraged you to get involved?
Ron, I worked in a Job Corps for years, so I've always had the nature of helping women. Mm-hmm. And when I came to move to Charlotte back in 2005, I'd heard of Dove's Nest, and I found it interesting. I applied. I went over and applied for a position there as an on-call facility tech. Mm-hmm. And I started in 2006 as an on-call facility tech, and I was blown away at the work right. that the Charlotte Rescue Mission does.
Right, right.
I was literally blown away because the success rate there in dealing with addicted women nationally, the success rate for a year out of any program is around 18%. Mm-hmm. Charlotte Rescue Mission, the women's division, is 75%.
Wow. That's huge.
Success rate.
Amen. That's wonderful.
That is
That's
huge.
Wonderful. It's also an extraordinary statement of commitment to have a long-standing agency in the community. Charlotte Rescue Mission, as I understand it, has been in Charlotte since 1938. And, of course, grappling with the persistence of homelessness and battling alcohol addiction, you truly are on the front lines.
Absolutely. We are on the front lines. And Charlotte Rescue Mission has been around since 1938. Doing what we do, and the Dove's Nest came into existence in 1992. Mm-hmm. So it's been in existence helping women since 1992.
Right, right. Now, the core principle of, and perhaps even the strength of the Charlotte Rescue Mission is the promulgation of your spiritual tenets.
Absolutely.
Talk about why the Christian faith is so central to the work that you're doing.
We look at addiction as a We go at it with the holistic approach, mm-hmm. in that we have to treat people not only physically, but we also have to treat them spiritually,
right?
Socially and vocationally. And we take all that and we come at it a standpoint that when you give them a foundation of Jesus Christ, then they have a strong foundation to stand on.
Right.
That coupled with the fact that we are a 4.5 month, 120-day program.
Right.
That's absolutely free to the client.
Mm-hmm.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
It's unheard of.
Talk a little bit about the mission of the Charlotte Rescue Mission.
Our mission is to help clients learn about Christ through the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that by every one of the staff is 100% Christian.
Mm-hmm.
We're not religious, mm-hmm. we're spiritual. And a person doesn't have to be Christian or any other.
Well, yeah, and that was going to be my next question.
To even come in our program.
Okay.
That's fine if you're not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're going to love you until you are.
Amen. But are there any complications in conveying the tenets of your faith to individuals who perhaps don't embrace Christianity as a faith?
No, there's no complications because we don't push, we don't Bible beat. We just, like I said, we take an individual in,
mm-hmm.
and our main purpose is, like I said, to show them the love of Christ,
yeah.
which is different than telling somebody about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have an old saying that I heard from Maya Angelou that I love, and it just sums it up perfectly. If somebody tells you they're a Christian, run.
Because their act should speak for itself.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And so we do that with our clients when they come in. And we realize that coming from addiction, you come, they're already dealing with low self-esteem.
Yeah,
they're dealing
yeah.
with tremendous guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to add anything else on that plate. We just want to take you in and love you and give you the tools to go out and be a successful member of society.
Yeah.
And that's how our program works.
Now, when individuals are coming in, they're mentally beaten down.
Absolutely.
And spiritually beaten down.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about when they first entered the program. Obviously, there are a lot of emotions that are taking place at that point. So take us through what happens when a person actually enrolls into the facility.
Okay, first of all, when our ladies come to us, 9 times out of 10, they've already been through other treatments,
mm-hmm.
jails, rehabs, institutions. We're kind of like the last stop on the block.
Mm.
And they come to us and they're hopeless. Okay, they've been beaten down with either domestic abuse, family of dysfunction origins.
Mm-hmm.
They have these horrible addictions, and they've been. And for women, it's a taboo in our society for a woman to be an addicted or alcoholic person.
Why is that a taboo?
I don't know. You know, that's the thing that even when I came to Charlotte Rescue Mission in 2006 and started working at the Dove's Nest, I always wondered why the men had 140 beds
mm-hmm.
and the women had only 12.
Right.
You know, but even in our society, women are supposed to be the backbone of the home. We are the mothers. We're the caretakers. We're supposed to be stronger than that. So for a woman, number one, to admit that I have this problem is a huge, huge thing.
Yeah.
And then society, we kind of like shy away from her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's put down. She's looked at differently. So when women come to us, they're dealing with all that, ashamed, guilt. Most of them have children. Okay, either the children are placed with the families
mm-hmm.
or social service has the children, and then you're dealing with that. That's a tremendous shame and a guilt to deal with. You know, so they come in, they're hopeless. You can look in their eyes and just see that there's nothing there. There's nothing there. And we just take them in and we just tell them that, you know what, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
God loves you, and I'm glad you're here.
And that is perhaps even the most critical part about what you're providing is to know that God loves you.
God loves you.
Because there's a sense of abandonment even by God when you are at that Absolutely. Point in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we've heard many, many times, you know, God turned his back on me. And mm-hmm. we don't realize at the time, and we don't say we don't have to say this because they come to their own realization that God never left me. You know, I turned my back on God.
Right.
And, you know, they have some that come from religious abuse backgrounds, where they were either raised in the church and taught about a God who was punishing and who will get I'm going to get you, God. Mm-hmm. You know, we just encourage them to find a God of your own understanding.
And, you know, and you're opening up a whole different discussion that I would love to have. because it really is interesting when a person has been beaten down so much and to think that God has abandoned them. And then, of course, being raised with a certain perception of
exactly.
God, that can hurt, particularly when you're dealing with homelessness and addiction.
Exactly. Yeah. You're raised with your mama's God or your grandmama's God, and you've never had an opportunity to develop that relationship with God yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what we teach them through a series of, we have licensed and certified therapists there. Mm-hmm. We also have a chaplain that comes in who's also a counselor, and we teach them the K-Author series. I don't know if you've heard of K-Author.
No.
But it's called Lord Heal My Hurts.
Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful program. It's a 12-week inductive Bible study, but we give them an opportunity to develop that own personal relationship with the God of their understanding.
Right, right. Now, talk a little bit about some of the challenges that the Charlotte Rescue Mission is currently facing, given the budgetary constraints that so many people have, particularly those who might be interested in donating and those kind of things. What are the fiscal and financial challenges that you're facing?
Right now, we are, which is, you know, Ron, in this economy, when nobody said it could happen, we did raise $10 million to build this new facility.
Wow.
And I don't mean we literally, I mean God through us.
That's, you know, extraordinary.
I mean? That is extraordinary. However, we still need $1 more million to meet our goal for opening the new facility, although we will be, our projected move-in date is July of this year, but we still need to make that $1 million.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the other challenges that we face is just really getting in here. Like I said, we're going from 12 beds currently to 90 women. And then add on to that 30 children.
Wow.
So we're just in a transition now of gathering information, just gleaning from other organizations, any information that we can, you know, so that we can prepare ourselves to transition into this facility and to keep our success rate up and help these women.
Now, with 60% of funding derived from individuals and private donations, it's got to be quite a challenge not to accept government resources.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a challenge, however. We stand on the fact that we pride ourselves in helping people change lives through the love of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And accepting government funding, we're able to do that.
Yeah, there's strings attached when you're assisted by the government. Right?
There's certain strings attached.
Yeah, yeah.
But I find that the Charlotte community here is awesome. I mean, we have donors that are faithful and that give. And and so I find that's awesome.
Right. Now, you have two specific programs, Rebound and Dove's Nest. It speaks volumes about the vision and tenacity to go from 12 beds when you began the program in 1992 to 120 beds. Mm-hmm. With the construction of the new facility, when it's complete, talk a little bit about that very moment when you're able to open the doors.
Wow.
I mean, I know it hasn't arrived, but I mean, the vision is almost realized at this point.
Yes. We are so excited, Ron. We get updates every week. And have you seen, actually seen?
I've seen some photographs.
Oh, my God. We are so, I don't know what that day is going to be like.
Yeah.
This is something we have been praying about and waiting for and just, so I have no idea what our emotions are going to be on that day. I know the first time we went for a tour, and we are a chatterbox. It's all women. Mm-hmm. It's about 9 of the staff now at Dove's Nest, and we chatter. And our supervisor took us over to tour the building for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said a word.
I mean, it was speechless.
We were speechless. It's actually going to happen, and it's awesome because we will not only be able to help that many more women, we will also be able to help that many more children.
Right, right. Now, will the facility be able to expand beyond the 120 beds, given that this will be a new facility? I mean, will there be...
Let us get through the 120, Ron.
I'm projecting way out, right?
Let us get to the 120 and we'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. But it has to be an awesome feeling to know that you're able to offer that kind of assistance. And then, of course, you know, and I'm joking in terms of being able to project out, but just imagine being able to open up more beds for more women who are struggling.
Absolutely. It is. And, you know, I think the next step would be after the 120 beds. I'm thinking that they're going to try and expand the men's division, which, if you've been over there, it's a really old building. It's been around since 1938, so I think they're going to work on that. But it's awesome that we get to do what we get to do.
Yeah. Now, how many men are being served right now?
Currently, I think it's 140 men.
Okay. Now, those folks who are donating, who are participating financially, what benefit, obviously, you know, they get to see folks who are dealing with addiction. They get to see the healing process and all of that. But given that they have donated so much to the facility and the building and all of that, what are some of the benefits to those donors?
To know that you have helped take this person from homelessness and addiction to now, you know, we've moved a mother and her children into a home. Mm-hmm. These people are having jobs that contribute back to society instead of taken away from society.
Yeah.
That's the benefit of all of it. And to know you have a part of that is just awesome.
Yeah. Now, I do understand that there might be some plaques or some other kind of...
Absolutely. At the new facility, we have what they call a sponsor a bed. Mm-hmm. And a group or church or individual can sponsor the money to bed one bed for one lady, which is $2,500. Mm-hmm. And that supplies the bed and all the furniture for that lady. And then you will have the naming rights to that bed. So we're going to have a plaque that will have your name on it down in the lobby.
That is wonderful.
Absolutely.
Because, first of all, it is something tangible.
Yes.
When a person has to or is required or perhaps even wants to reach in their pocket to give,
right?
It is something to know that you can actually see the results of your giving.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Give me your thoughts about that.
I think it's great. We talked about this, and I thought that, you know, it's... We have people that give silently, mm-hmm. but of course, you know, when you can see where your money's going and you can put your hands on, like you said, it's tangible. Mm-hmm. It just makes you proud to know that you've done this, and it's something that you can be proud of.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about some of the addictions that you're actually grappling with. Is it just drug addiction or just alcohol? What specific types of addiction?
Ron, all types of addiction. Mm-hmm. Addictions to pills, addictions to alcohol, addiction to food, addiction. You know, addictions take on a wide range of things, mm-hmm. and come at you in a way that... you don't even realize that you're addicted, you know, sex addictions, mm-hmm. you know, it's just we deal with a whole range of addictions.
Now, are you seeing a rise in the need of these kinds of services?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, in my humble opinion, Ron, I think the need has just always been there. Mm-hmm. I think just the help, the resource hasn't been there.
And that is something which is obviously with our economy and the city, you know,
absolutely.
Grappling with its budgetary constraints, that there is a profound need for your type of program.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Tell me about Dove's Nest. Why the name Dove's Nest?
The name came from an actual former director of Dove's Nest, mm-hmm. Bobby Seabor. She and the board and Tony Marciano went back when they decided they were going to open a facility for women. She had a very unique story behind the name Dove's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
She herself was struggling with her own personal issues and had... went to therapy or someplace, and she constructed this dove out of clay.
Mm-hmm.
And the dove hit its head and its wing. It was a wounded dove. And that reminded her of the ladies that come, or the ladies that are out there in addictions. They're wounded souls, ladies and men, mm-hmm. wounded souls. And, you know, the dove represents peace,
right.
and love, and purity and God and all these things. So she and a few others come up with the name Dove's Nest, and I love that name. I love what we represent.
And you're promoting self-sufficiency, obviously, and you also deal with job placement and socially oriented endeavors. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. We give the ladies tools and empower them to go out and go back into the workforce. Mm-hmm. Currently, our ladies, when they leave our 120-day program, they go over to the YWCA. And we collaborate with them. They have a Women in Transition program, mm-hmm. and then they have budgeting classes. They have aftercare that we still are involved with the ladies. And then they get a job, and they learn how to open a bank account, you know, save money.
Right.
And they do this for up to 2 years, and then they transition into their own apartment or house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
that is wonderful.
It's absolutely wonderful.
Wow.
It's absolutely wonderful.
When I was reading the website and gleaning as much information as I could from the website, I was struck mm-hmm. by efforts to conquer feelings of shame, worthlessness, inferiority, and a host of other mental and spiritual challenges that women are facing. And It struck me that any person, whether you're a woman or a man, mm-hmm. can devolve into that kind of mental state. So when you are talking about Christ and you're talking about the specific tenets of the program, tell me how receptive they are initially. And then when they begin to deal with their own personal feelings and they start making that journey back, what happens? What emerges from that particular point?
Well, Ron, what I can tell you is that when our clients come into the facility, like I said, they're hopeless, their heads are down, their shoulders are slumped, they have those incredible feelings of shame and guilt and, you know, God doesn't love me, I don't love me.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is after they get in the program and they've worked through some of these issues and they're working one-on-one with their counselor and they're going to group therapy and they're going to these meetings and they're realizing that the love of Christ was there for them no matter what. I'll be working in the office and I'll see a young lady who maybe has been in the program a month or two and I'll realize that sparkles back in her eye.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she's holding her shoulders up just a little bit more and the head lifts up and the face starts to clear up, you know, and she speaks with confidence. You know, she speaks with authority, and all that comes from just developing that personal relationship with God. And you can see the spiritual growth. You know, you can see the spiritual growth. Like I said, if somebody tells you a Christian, run. But with these women, you can see that spiritual growth just in how they interact with each other, their demeanor, and just the aura you get from being around them. And, you know, it's the most incredible thing to witness. I have the most awesome job, and I get to see these miracles every day.
And that was the reason why I wanted to end the show with that particular question, because I want people to realize that there is a process that's actually taking place.
Absolutely.
From the moment the woman walks through the door mm-hmm. to when they achieve self-sufficiency. That is a really, really wonderful, wonderful thing.
It is.
Absolutely. Anything else about the program that the public should be aware of?
Well, I just wanted to let the public know that we have a few. If you guys want to help out and you don't have a lot of money, that's fine. There's lots of things that an individual can do.
Mm-hmm.
We have April is Share the Comfort Month. Private Quarters
mm-hmm.
is a company that every April they have a program, what they call Share the Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And if you buy a pillow, which is very, very inexpensive, then they will also send Dove's Nest a pillow,
wow.
a blanket or anything. So you can go to that website at www.privatequarters.net
mm-hmm.
and just hit on the link that says events.
Okay.
And Dove's Nest is listed there. We're going to have a housewarming on May the 20th, and we're going to have a gift registry at the local Walmart, Target, Macy's. So if you're in there shopping, just visit our gift registry and help provide linen, bed linen, sheets, blankets, pillowcases for these ladies. You can, it's a lot you can do.
And if there are women out there that need your services, what's the requirement?
you have to be 18 or older. Mm-hmm. And currently, we do operate from a waiting list. Okay. However, when we move to the new facility, that won't be a problem. Mm-hmm. But they'll just need to call our number at 704-332-3999, mm-hmm. extension 13, and leave their name and their number at the admissions counselor, and someone will get back in touch with
you. Absolutely. Shantae Anderson, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much, Ron, for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9. We'll be back in a moment. Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. I'd like to again thank Shantae Anderson, Facility Case Manager of the Dove's Nest Program, a division of the Charlotte Rescue Mission. I'm thrilled that the facility's expansion will provide beds, services, and a host of other programs for women grappling with alcohol and drug addiction, as well as homelessness. It's good to know that there are dedicated people and entities in the city of Charlotte that care for women and men in need. Please, if you can help with donations or assist in some other way, log on to www.charlotterescuemission.org. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.